share communion together, and we're going to do that in just a few minutes. But we're going to, in doing so, take a look at the gospel. The gospel. Remember Jesus, he said, I want you to, talking about communion, do this often in remembrance of me. And it's in remembrance of what he has done, what he did on the cross, the good news of the gospel. And I think Samuel last time, on first Sunday, he said, Jesus doesn't want us to share communion together with him at an altar, but rather at a table. It's relational. It's not a religious action. It's a relational reality. It's intimacy with the Lord and intimacy with one another as we dine together around this table that has made the body of Christ possible. Do we understand the death on the cross and the shedding of blood and the resurrection from the dead is what gave birth to the New Testament church that we're all a part of? So we're going to look into the gospel today. And what I want to do is I want to kind of show us how this seed of the gospel that's inside of us is eternal and not temporal. It's eternal and not temporal. I touched on this a little bit last week, and I'm going to kind of illustrate it as it relates to the series we're in. We're going to focus on the gospel, but I'm going to illustrate it in relationship to the series that we're in, this heart connection, this serving with our treasure, with our financial resources, how we're connecting our hearts to the work of the gospel through that. I want to give you a practical illustration on that, as well as talk about this mysterious, simple reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to move forward in that today together. And what I feel on my heart as we take communion today, God's going to bring revelation to your hearts about the gospel. And some of us in the room are going to get unstuck today. I felt just as I was praying over this morning that there were some people that were stuck and that the gospel has made provision for us to get unstuck and to ascend in what God's called us to do. So remember last Sunday, Father, help us today. I was looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and we saw that darkness covered the face of the deep or covered the waters. And God spoke light, or Jesus, into the midst of the chaos. And order and alignment began to manifest itself as he separated the waters that were on the earth from the waters that were to be in the heavens. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And right there in that imagery is really a picture of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus, or the light of the world, has done. The light of the world, for those of you that aren't aware of this, has come into the darkness and has begun to separate the waters from the heavens, from the waters of the earth, and began to bring order and alignment in the midst of chaos. This is what he's doing on the inside of you and me. This is the good news. Now we know that Jesus, we see this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, in order to make space for the seed of the dream that the gospel actually came for, to be planted inside of our hearts, that would produce fruit according to its kind, God brought the waters on the earth. After he separated the waters from the heavens from the waters of the earth, God brought the waters of the earth together in one place, so that ground would begin to appear, so that as the seed was planted, it would begin to sprout with vegetation and begin to bear fruit. Genesis 1:11, we see that there. And when God saw the sky, the land, and the seas all in their proper order, he said that it was good. The news was good. You see, God's goodness included us, where it is into the environment of our lives. When he was talking about unity, which is such an environmental issue nowadays in the lives of relationships, but into the environment of our lives, he is speaking light, bringing order where there's been chaos, where there's been darkness, and he's planting seeds of destiny into the soil of our hearts. Now, the soil of our hearts, or this land of our hearts, as we actually looked at last week, that we are now called to live in, is totally different than the land that we have come out of. You have to understand this. No matter how you feel, no matter how you even act or even oftentimes behave, there's an eternal seed on the inside of you that is going to get its full reward. But you have to realize what has actually transpired by the gospel of Jesus Christ through the blood of the Lamb being planted on the inside of your heart has actually already accomplished. So that you can begin to align with what has taken place. I think so oftentimes we align with lies more than we do with truth. And that's why we're being washed with the water of the Word of God. Because we're not supposed to live in that old nature, that old land anymore. We've been brought into a promised land, a new land, a land of freedom, a land that's filled with the fruit of the Spirit, as Wendy was talking about, right? And Deuteronomy says this in chapter 11, verse 10. He says, the land that you are about to enter in and take over is not like the land of Egypt. In other words, the system of the world from which you came, where you planted your seed and made irrigation ditches with your foot as in a vegetable garden. He continues in verse 11 and he says, rather, the land that you will soon take over is a land of hills and valleys. Everybody say hills and valleys. It's a different topography. It's a place that you might not be used to. It's why we all need to become familiar with the kingdom of God. It's the reason we look into the Word on Sunday mornings like we do. We want to breed a culture, an environment, a familiarity with the land that we have come into. It's a mysterious land. It's a wonderful land. But it's different than the land of the world. I remember when I first got saved, I was just getting my bearings and like, wow, this is a whole new life. This is a whole new land that I've been brought into. It's completely different than the world that I was once a part of, right? We need rewiring in the way that we think and in the culture of our hearts. But the gospel in Deuteronomy is being revealed to us right here. And the deal is that soil, Which has been made space for destiny. God, listen, God is all about destiny. He has made space on the earth for a generation to rise and take hold of the things that He's called us to walk in. And he's wanting to see this come forth. He's waiting for a generation that says, I'm in fully with all of my heart. But the soil where the seed has been planted, how many of you know, needs water to grow. Now, I want to show you something here that's different in this eternal seed that we carry versus one that's a temporal. Soil with seed needs water to grow. Now we see in Egypt, there was a self-effort that was able to access water via an irrigation ditch to bring that into the soil. There's a lot of amazing things that we as humans can accomplish out of our own ingenuity and self-effort, right? But in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is not going to work. And at times it's frustrating. How many of y'all have felt that? You're like, man, I want to change or I want to see this happen. And you try in your own strength and it can never seem to come to pass. Are you following me? You've tried, you're frustrated. But that's because that's not how it works in the new land that we live in. The Lord says that in the lands of hills and valleys, you can't get an irrigation ditch that you're going to be able to build. In fact, you've got to wait for rain to come. And how many of you know that when it's up to us waiting on rain, that's an act of faith and trust? If God says it's going to rain, how many of you know that He promises something that He's going to act on His word? Now, oftentimes it may not come at the time when we think it should, but it is going to come, right? So it's waiting on that rain to come to water this ground that's inside of our hearts. And the difference in the land is also the difference in the fruit. One will grow a crop as well that's temporal. The other one will grow a crop that is eternal. Now, here's the deal with the gospel. We know that as transformed people that are transforming culture, we are called to be servants of all. In fact, that's how we manifest the greatness of the kingdom in the earth. But servanthood and heart connection, i.e. given of our time, our talents, and our financial resources, is not about so much what we do, but who our hearts are connected to. And then out of that flows an ease of rest that brings water to other people. Does that make sense? So treasure, i.e. this heart connection, specifically via our financial resources. I want to show you something here in Matthew chapter 6. And again, this is a practical application that parallels this gospel that we're a part of. He says to the believers here, Jesus, he says, don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. So he's talking about treasures on earth. He's talking about temporal fruit. Fruit nonetheless, but fruit that is temporal. He says, rather, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. So treasure in heaven is eternal. Everybody say eternal. And then he says, where your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will be also. See, there's a connection to where your heart is to the manifestation of your treasures. Like, for real, like you're going to give your time and your talents and your financial resources to where your heart is connected. If it's connected to Jesus, that's where those things are going to go. I'm not talking about just in terms of being in the church, or I'm talking about to his kingdom in general. But if not, it's going to go to other things. And they might even be great things, but they will be temporal. They will be temporal. And we are living for eternity. How many of you know that? That's really important for us to understand. So the principle of the seed, whichever one we have inside of our hearts or that we're cultivating, a temporal seed or an eternal seed, will produce like kind. So whatever is inside of us that we water, either by faith or by our own effort, will begin to grow and begin to produce that reality. The seed will either be temporal or eternal. And that's why Timothy says, he says to tell those in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. He said their trust should be of God, in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Which is awesome. But verse 18, he says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share it with others. And he says this, catch this. By doing this, they will be storing up treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. True life. Now, I know you, like myself, could say, hey, I'm not rich. But you know what? I did a research the other day on the internet. And did you know the bottom 5% of distribution of wealth income earners in America is equal to the top 5% of income earners in the nation of India. So hear me. The poor of America are comparable to the wealthy of India. I could go on other nations, it would even be beyond that. You know, if you've ever traveled overseas and you've really seen... So here's what I felt years ago. I felt like the Lord said, listen, I'm starting to move in other places around the world that's different than the United States right now. You know, American Christianity is actually in a decline, and that's why we want to change that in our city. Amen? Like real believers, like real church rising up, you know, that's really going to make a difference. But that's happening around the world big time, China and other places in Asia and even across the Middle East. But he said, I'm not finished with the United States yet, because I've really matured the bride there in many, many ways, especially as it has to do with resources. Resources where they're not an idol to us. He was speaking that by faith, you know, that it hasn't gotten a hold of us, that we've grown up in what we would think is just normality, but it's not normality for the rest of the world. So here's the thing. I want to just show you this real quick, and then we're gonna close with a thought, and then we're gonna move into communion. But how do we discern temporal fruit from eternal fruit? Because it can be difficult sometimes. Because if you look in Psalm 107, verse 37, he says this. The psalmist says, they sow their fields, they plant their vineyards, and they harvest their bumper crops. So there's three realities here: sowing, planting, and harvesting. Now here's the deal. The harvest will come based on kingdom principles to the just and the unjust. Did you know if someone's generous, that doesn't even come to church, they're going to reap what they've sown in terms of generosity? Are you following me? So here, even in sowing, to me, that reflects time. How many of you know that hard work produces results at the end of the day? If you work hard, like we think, man, all these successful people, baseball players or movie stars or whoever, man, and they just got all their money. No, they worked really hard to get to where they are. You hear any of their stories, man, they worked really hard. And secondly, planting, I believe that reflects the talents or exercising the gift that's within you. When you tap into who you really are and begin to give time to that and begin to exercise that, man, it is going to produce results. So if you give time, if you exercise your gifts, there's going to be a harvest that comes to the just and unjust. So how do we discern? Here it is right here. We're going to close with this thought, moving into this whole stuck thing and getting out of it. He says in Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to give you context of this whole chapter in just a minute. He says, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always... We don't like those kind of words. He says, you will always harvest what you plant. Now, mock here, check this definition out. It means to scoff at something by copying an action or a way of behaving or speaking. I remember when I was little, my brother would just mock me, you know. I wanted to kill him when he did it. Because I would say, stop mimicking me. And he'd say, stop mimicking me. You know, like he would repeat the same exact thing that I just said. He was mocking me, you know, by doing that. But here's what you need to understand. The principle as it relates to the garden that is eternal is this. The enemy is unable to create anything. He's unable to create. There's only one creator. So the enemy mocks the gospel by copying the fruit of the seed that is being produced in people's lives that is temporal and not eternal. And he makes them think that their time and their talents and even the harvest that they're reaping is valuable. Listen, when it is doing some temporal good, but it's not carrying any weight into eternity. There's going to be a lot of successful people that are going to step onto the other side of eternity, and they're going to be waiting for their limo to show up, for their this, that, and the other. And man, they're going to find that, man, they did a lot of great things on the earth, but they never sowed anything into anything that was eternal. I actually believe, man, if we get a hold of the gospel and what the gospel is actually about, man, we can be successful in our businesses, even more fruitful and create more wealth in our businesses than we ever did before. And it can be legit and eternal. It's not like one or the other. It's not like you can't be successful in this life and then all of a sudden, you know, this is the gospel. Now, here's the deal. With the gospel, there's a massive difference between religion and relationship. And as we pass out the communion here, I want you just to stay connected, okay? Stay engaged here, which is the whole Galatians 6 context. Look at this in chapter 6, verse 2. He illustrates religion or self-effort, where you're carving that irrigation ditch to your field. Look what he says. He says, those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. It's all external. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. That is, you know, the cross of Christ alone can save. That is scandalous, really. In a self-effort, self-help kind of world. But he says, illustrating relationship or divine enablement, he says, look at this in verse 15, a couple verses past verse 12. He says, it doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not, talking about an external circumcision. What counts, I love this, is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm sitting here this morning, in our meeting and I'm like, God, I need new creation. I want in the atmosphere of this place and all that you're doing here. I don't want just another meeting. I don't even want an awesome worship set. I don't want just another amazing teaching by myself. Come on, somebody. You know, I want the eternal life of God to come visit us and to come rest in our hearts. You see, let's go back to practice again. When you give out of duty financially, temporal. When you give from the heart, eternal. Now here's the deal. Come on, how many browbeating messages have we heard from the pulpit, unfortunately, about the saints of God not giving to the work of the kingdom? Look what Bill Johnson says. He says, we often think that accountability is something we hold each other to keep each other from doing something wrong. But in the kingdom, we hold each other accountable to our destiny and our prophecy. In other words, the environment we want to create here is an environment where you realize, oh my God, this is what I was made to do, not what I was supposed to do. When rain visits you, that water is much sweeter than irrigation water. So here's the practical thing I want to drive home. And as we take communion, I really believe something's going to shift in some hearts here this morning. Same context, chapter 6, verse 9. Look what he says. Paul, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Genesis chapter 1, he saw that it was good. Same parallel. When you're wanting to see order, seed come into soil, that's eternal. How many of you know there's a battle for that? There is a battle. The enemy is waging war against the soils of hearts that are committed to eternal things. Because he knows how dangerous it is if we manifest these things. So he says, don't get tired of doing what is good. He says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So get tired of what is doing good. Doing good is this. It literally is the word faint there. Tired is faint, which literally means to fail in your heart. So there's something where your heart is supposed to be connected. It has failed, and now it's disconnected. Let me just give you this insight. Whenever I sit down with somebody and I want to find out where they are, I may look at practical things like, hey, are you connected here? Are you connected here? Are you connected here? And if not, I'm not going to focus on, wow, you should be doing this or you should be doing that. It's more about, where did your heart veer off that all of a sudden you're no longer connected? That's the root issue. That's the main foundation. So our response, you ready? Because we're going to take communion. We're going to really, in reverence, like ponder this. And we're going to see the beauty of the blood shift something. It should be this, Isaiah 40, 31. You've read this before? Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Trust, other versions would say, wait, those who wait on the Lord. But trust, it literally means to bind together through twisting. Can see this, God's heart connection with us is not just like two boards with some glue that kind of holds us, but maybe it gets kind of, it's actually like if it's done right, we give him so much space in the space that he's created for us to be fruitful. We let him come into that soil of our garden and we let him twist all up in our emotions as we are through process maneuvering in a place of goodness that sometimes, man, you wonder, is God really here? Is what I'm really doing, does it really matter? Does this really count? You let him all up in that and he twists all up so that, like, it's not easy then to get disconnected from God. Does that make sense? And then he says, then we shall soar on high like eagles. And the second thing in this verse, look at this. He says, we will reap then a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up. The word literally there is the word relax, which means you're stuck. Please hear me here. Like, I know that we all get there. I know that we all get in those seasons. But man, if you are stuck, you should be like, I'm just wanting to put something in you that says that is not okay. We're not going to build a church with people that are stuck. Leaders or members or anything. There's nothing about our culture that we're wanting to build where there's this space where people can get stuck. And he says, we'll rise up on wings. If we don't give up, we'll rise up on wings, back to Isaiah 40:31, like eagles. Listen to this. It literally means to ascend once again in our senses. Where your heart that had become fallow ground gets broken up again. And you can rise and begin to feel again. That's not a charismatic culture. That's a kingdom culture. Like, we should feel deeply all the time. Like, sadness, valleys, happiness, mountains. So we should even engage God. Let him get all up. Like, I was talking to someone the other day when I was working out about the passing of my mom, and he was just kind of putting some things into my field, and he was saying, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to let God into those spaces. When you ascend in your senses, that's resurrection. That's the cup, and that's the bread. So could we just, with our eyes closed, could we just pause our hearts? Could we just remember again what this is all about? Could we remember again that when everything was chaotic, when everything was dark, we couldn't see and we couldn't fix our environment, the Father spoke light into the midst of that darkness. Jesus came right into the middle of your world and knows every feeling, every thought, every facet of your personality. And life began. Life was completed, actually. The eternal seed that positioned you for greatness had taken root. And through the washing of the word, God was going to bring it into fullness where you'd become like an oak tree and bring shade to other lives, a life to other lives. But have you grown weary in doing good? Has your heart lost a little bit of that sensitivity, that edge? Let's exercise our senses today. Let's taste and let's see. He is good. Just take the bread and let's take together and let's taste again. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm not saying don't exercise your gifts. I'm saying do it from the place of rain coming to that soil. Rain right now, Holy Spirit, come. Drink of the water of His blood. they put that spear in your side, Lord. Blood and water flowed into the soil of the earth. Just as it does today. The broken body that puts you in that space suspended between heaven and earth where you were vying for our future. Where you came down into the midst of the chaos and into the midst of the darkness to make way for us to have heavenly reality, the life, the resurrection power of heaven in our midst on the earth. You came and your body was broken. Blood and water spilled into the earth, and there was a great earthquake. Everything changed. The environment shifted, just as it has today. We're going to stay in this space of reverence. And I'm just going to have Sarah play. We're going to have our ministry teams up here. And I want to say this, like for real, if you are stuck in any way, you come and sit at this altar and wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. Let His presence, let His love come and get all twisted back up inside of your heart again. I'm telling you, you're going to mount up on wings like an eagle. You're going to begin to fly again. If you're getting your gifts, please do so quietly. God bless you guys. Have an awesome Sunday. We'll see you next week.